I've taken the approach with myself personally and with the team, I'm looking 3 to 4 months away from today. I'm seeing it like I said to the team this morning, let's look at it like if you were preparing for a marathon or you were preparing for an HSC or you're preparing for, the date is in 3 to 4 months from now. What are we going to do in preparation from today for that 3 or 4 months?
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Well, what a crazy month we've had. Well, we've all had to adapt our family life and our businesses to social distancing as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. For those of you that have been following along, Elite Agent has been doing a series of webinars to help you all adjust and adapt. And one of the most popular webinars so far we've done has been with guests Matt LaHood from the agency and coach Claudio Encina, otherwise known as the Mentors. So for you guys who are much more inclined to listen to a podcast, we've adapted these webinars to suit the podcast platform. And as usual, we have taken notes, which you can download at EliteAgentElevate.com. In this conversation, you're going to hear some important tips about how to talk to clients right now, why we are all back at day one in real estate, and how you can reach out to your community to give back. There are some great scripts here from both Claudio and Matt in this recording, but you'll hear them both talk about why human empathy is the most important thing right now, both for your clients and your team. Anyway, enough from me for now. I hope you get some great tips out of this show. First of all, I want to thank everyone for joining, whether it's on the webinar or whether it's on Facebook or whether you happen to be tuning in on the replay. As you know, we've been running these webinars because the times that we're navigating at the moment are quite interesting for all of us, certainly stuff that we've never experienced in our lifetimes. So just a reminder from Elite Agent, we've set up a page for you all. It's eliteagent.com/COVID-19 for all of these resources. So all the webinar replays, we're putting these out on our podcast now as well, so that if you're a podcast listener, you can listen in. All the stories, updates, everything like that at the moment. Cass is madly typing something about the wage relief right now. So we've just kind of tried to get our heads around that one. This thing just changes over and over again. If you're a pro member for Elite Agent, I've been posting news and updates and things like that in the pro member group. And when I get to it, also in Humans of Real Estate. So we've got two Facebook groups that we're updating constantly. And now at the moment, so we're extending our coverage to suppliers as well. So there's a button on there for industry suppliers that are doing good things. And I think there's a few stories that are coming in there on virtual tours and things like that this morning. If you've got any questions for either Matt LaHood or for Claudio Encina, you can pop them into the chat box if you're on the webinar, and you can pop them into the comments on Facebook. So as I said before, these are two faces you should all recognise from the magazine. Number one, the best hair in real estate, yeah. Claudio Osher, Lundsberg, Encina.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Who's our regular Ask the Coach and, you know, regular schnitty partner of Mark and I, you know, when we're allowed to go back over the road again, which might not be for a while.
Absolutely.
And in the bottom box, we've got someone who looks way better with way less effort, Matt LaHood.
Unedited, Sam.
I'm trying so hard not to play favourites, but it's so difficult with you two.
Before you do jump in, you've been doing an amazing job, not to be melodramatic around this, but just to get the REIs on and then to have John Cunningham and Mike on as well, and Leanne, and doing it with empathy too. It's easy to be looking like you're marketing and all this type of things at the moment. We're all in the business of selling, but yeah, I know you're doing this from a space of you really want the industry to be in a better space, because you and I've had some chats offline, Clouds, you'd agree with that. So I just wanted to put that out there because that could easily go unnoticed to the audience, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, like we're all about you guys. We're all about the agents. So, you know, we want to see you guys navigate this challenging time. And I mean, look, everybody is. Claudio is. You are. I am. As a business, it's rapidly changing. I was just saying to someone
you know, Mark and I were nearly about to create a video from the point of view of Mr. and Mrs. Vendor yesterday, because as some of you know that listen to the Jim Remley podcast, we were moving north up until all this happened. So we put our office on the market and, you know, like everything's kind of, you know, like so up in the air now that we're not quite sure what we should do. And, you know, like right now we need this room.
I heard Craig Coughlin's on the line, so he's up Gold Coast Waste. So, Coggo, you should activate your skill level, help Sam get up there.
Absolutely. You should all be tagging us in your databases right now for about June, July. If I don't get emails from all of you, I'll be upset.
That's it.
Let's move on, like one by one. So, first of all, Matt, how are you travelling at the moment? How are your team travelling? What's going on from the agency?
I just jumped off a 9 o'clock like you, Clouds, to the entire team nationally. And, look, it's quite interesting. We've got a combination of people just getting on with it, combination of people that are working out what their next step is, and a combination of people who we just need to really work with closely to move them along. But the inspiration's coming from people that are just going on with their business and reinventing. Like I said the other day to the team, I've picked three words from day one on this and I've stuck with it, and the team now know clearly these are the three words that I've liked to present. First one's been empathy. Second one's been resilience, and the third one's been focus. I said, if you get up every day with those three words, and this has become a bit of a catch cry amongst our team at the moment with those three, the agency team I'm talking about internally, we're talking resilience, focus, and empathy. If you go through your day with those three things, I think you're going to really strike oil in the next 3 months to 4 months. I've taken the approach with myself personally and with the team, I'm looking 3 to 4 months away from today. I'm seeing it like I said to the team this morning, let's look at it like if you were preparing for a marathon or you were preparing for an HSC or you're preparing for, the date is in 3 to 4 months from now. What are we going to do in preparation from today for that 3 or 4 months? If we can all focus today on I'm studying for an exam, the exam date's in 90 days from now, I'm running a marathon in 90 days, I'm, you know, wanting to lose 20 kilos in 90 days, whatever it is, and you just say, right, here's what I need to do to come out of this in 90 days with a result. And that's how I've been personally focused for our team and the company and for everybody else, because we all know this too shall pass, right, to coin a Deepak Chopra phrase. It's going to go, but we've got to have a plan. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our ideal week going, and that's how we're going. We're just taking it day by day like everybody else. I think the stimulus that came out yesterday, I can feel people, the sort of black clouds are all of a sudden lifted in the last 24 hours. Sam, what have you been finding? Same
thing. I mean, you know, like we're sort of, you know, bouncing across the headlines overall, but I think, you know, like with some wage relief there, that's going to put some property managers' minds at ease at least, you know, because there is something there to fall. I mean, it's part of the issue. It's not the whole issue, but it's part of it, yeah.
I think one big thing that gets missed in these times is empathy. We're all just trying to do what we're going to do and everything. But I've said, let's look at a wider picture. You've got clients that have got kids, that have got older parents, that have got, they're losing their jobs. I've heard my son's been coming home telling me three of his mates lost their job and their mums and dads all at the same time. And I've been saying to him, well, what can you do today to help those people? You're in a job, you're working, you've got everything you need. What can you do? We're getting our inspiration off other people and helping them move forward where we can in our own family, but more so from the company's perspective. I think it's a real focus to be resilient yourself. We know it's going to pass.
Yep.
There seems to be another drop this morning, I'm hearing as well. I don't know if that's nationally, but I just saw a drop in the ratio of
infections. New cases.
Mm. Yep. Did you see that too?
I've heard the same thing, Matty. Yep.
So, again, all these little triggers, we've got to hang on to them as real positives. And one day at a time, one day at a time.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, the training analogy that you use, like the running a marathon thing, it's funny because normally in real estate, every day is game day and it's really hard to sort of take time out for a bit of training and stuff like that. So, you know, in some ways I've seen people doing things lately that you would never normally see. And some of it is not a bad thing. I think, you know, like if we all keep up the hand sanitizer when this is over, that won't be a bad thing.
No. Absolutely. Cleaning your hands, washing yourself. Absolutely.
Exactly.
All right. So, Claudio, what are you seeing and feeling from your clients?
Yeah, pretty much what like Maddie was saying. From a lot of my clients that I'm seeing out there is probably that there's three types of agents that I'm seeing out there. And, you know, I break it down like there's a fear-focused agent right now that's very emotional, very overwhelmed with everything that's been happening over the past few weeks. And they're a little bit sort of like, you know, consumed by the media right now. So they're very fear-focused. Then I've got these guys that are sort of sitting in the middle and they're like, you know, I call them the unfocused agents. They're more like head in the sand, playing the waiting game. I'm not sure what's the next step I should be doing. Do I call past clients or don't I? Do I do something in the community or don't I? Or do I just sit and wait, right? And then for me, it's like you got this other group, which is like I call more the strategy focused agents that are literally saying, how can I get involved in the community? How can I see opportunity right now? Now is a great time. Like what Maddie's saying is get my game plan happening for the next, you know, 30 or 60 days that's going to be coming up. And how can I still offer and serve at my highest level in the marketplace? So you got some guys that are doing that. And let's be honest, right, Matt? I know your office is doing it. And I know some of my clients are doing it. They're still transacting, you know, selling over the weekend. There's still buyers that want to buy and there's still people that need to sell. So I think it's pretty simple. Either you can live in the mess or you can live above the problem. You know, that's just a choice. And it's a thing you've got to look at. And, you know, there are some agents who are fear-focused who are living in the mess right now and those unfocused agents as well. And I think if you choose to be above the problem but also serve at your highest level to your community, I think that's what people are looking for. You know, buyers and sellers today are looking for the agent that can give them direction, not who's getting caught up in the distraction.
And confidence.
Absolutely.
When you're selling something, you've got to show confidence, not false confidence. You've got to show empathy. We had a bit of an aha moment this morning, and I just rolled around last night in bed, and I thought, thinking about what I was going to talk to my team about this morning and obviously here as well. And I said to the entire team this morning, I got a lot of texts back, I said, what if you approach this real estate business we're in right now like it was day one in real estate? Imagine if you and I and Sam, we were hired before COVID-19 and they said, start on March 1, that's your day, first day in real estate.
Yeah.
Now, when I said this, I got a lot of emails coming through, people going, wow, because we didn't think of this. Now, how would you sell real estate? Well, this is what you have to do. You need sanitizer. You've got to do one-on-one appointments. There's a set of keys on the board. You're not allowed to do auctions for a moment. We'll do them later. We'll coach you on those.
And you don't know any better.
Yep. You don't know any better. We've got key. There's a whole lot of keys and there's a whole lot of properties with for sale on them. All you need to do is qualify people hard. You've got to distance them at opens. Imagine if you were trained like that from day one and you didn't know any different. And what we all have to be careful and all your audience, Sam, is have to be really careful. And we don't become redundant because the people that have gone and have done this, imagine if we were trained and the old cats don't want to change and say, this is, oh, no, we wouldn't do this. We're waiting. We're going to wait for the options to come back.
Yeah.
You're waiting. It could be 60, 90, 120 days and most agents are on commission only. I'd be adapting immediately to the new rules. Imagine if it was your very first day in real estate. You wouldn't know any different in 6 months' time if that was the way you were trained, right?
Correct.
Or if you landed on Earth from space today and you said, that's how we sell real estate, you've got to have a bottle of hand sanitizer, distance yourself. There's no open homes. They go, okay, that's just normal. And that's the way you got to buy. Imagine the buyers were trained that way because they didn't know. Someone coming onto the market now as a buyer, buying their first property, would not know any different to the process than how we've done it previously.
Great perspective to put it to. Absolutely. Love that.
I think that's a wonderful perspective because sometimes, you know, we forget that it's always day one in any business. Like, you know, we get so used to what we feel like normal is.
Yep.
That, you know, like even if we weren't experiencing a crisis, that's really good advice. It's always day one in real estate.
Yeah. Look, Sam, it's easy to kick stones down the road and bitch and squeal and say, oh, this is how we used to do it. Well, have a guess what, guys? We're not doing it that way anymore. And, if you don't adapt, the new person coming in that's sharper, faster, smarter, wants to maneuver, wants to get on with it, is going to run over all of us on this screen, right?
Yep.
And we don't want that to happen to your listeners. We don't want it to happen to our teams and your clients' clouds and my team. We want everybody to stay real. And this could be, I'd love everybody post this drama to have a combination. I'm sort of designing something now, my downtime for my team is we're going to have a number of ways you can sell your house in future. We can sell a buy appointment, you know, auction date in the future with, you know, no inspections, buy appointment only, qualified buy, whatever way we're doing, we'll have a number of ways.
But I think, Maddie, what you said is absolutely 100%. It's like this is a time where everybody needs to reinvent themselves. Like you mentioned, you know, Sam, even in my business, like I was here on Sunday, I got a whole butcher's paper out here on my stand-up desk. I've got a whole thing here. And even for my clients, to make them feel that, hey, we're in this together. You know, how can I protect my clients? How can I care for them and also lead them through this together? I want us to walk out of this together. If I'm not relevant and, like you say, pivot to what today, forget it. You're just going to become irrelevant. And that can be in terms of you selling with your buyers or your sellers. You have to become relevant. And I've had to reinvent myself, and I've got a whole thing at the back behind me, this butcher's paper that I've written up of things that I'm going to be doing for our clients, but also what you've got to be doing for your sellers and your buyers in this market. If you were doing the listing presentation 4 weeks ago that you were presenting today, I'll tell you what, you have your head in the sand.
I just apologize to my team this morning nationally. I think I've let them down around not having enough webinars. We're too busy, right? We're all too busy. And I've got teams nationally, so and our model is not necessarily an office-based model. So they would love more of that because I've just been getting the feedback. So I think this is a time where I've had to get a kick in my own backside and give myself an uppercut as to why Thomas, myself, PK, across our crew, haven't actually gone and done these. But these are now just going to become standard. So we'll have the in-office meetings, we'll have the webinars, we'll have the webinars with guests, we'll have all these things, which we should have been doing. And it's a good wake-up call for all of us to look at our routines. We get stuck in a routine and it's easy being busy, being busy.
It's easy being comfortable.
And we've had it easy. The industry, you know, especially the Eastern Seaboard agents that have had clearance rates at auctions at 60, 70, 80%, they've just not had to really reinvent. So it's a wake-up call, and it's a good wake-up call for longevity.
Yeah. So, Matt, I know you like to look west, you know, like to sort of figure out solutions to problems because, you know, the west have been in a completely different scenario to the east for a lot of years, let's say.
And one of my best lessons in life, having a team in WA, Sam, those guys are so inventive with how they would do business. This all came and they went, yeah, so what's the big noise? So what? We do buy appointments. We're for private treaty. We qualify heavy. We don't just roll anyone through. What's the big deal? What's everyone on the East Coast going up and down about in the one spot? Okay, so we introduce a hand sanitizer and we don't do opens necessarily. We do them by appointment. Auctions aren't that popular only when we really need them with competition, which technically should be the same on the East Coast. It should be only a property you should be taking if you feel there's going to be multiple buyers. Shouldn't just be a one blanket scenario. But even though the last 3 years I've been involved with the WA team, just how resourceful they are. They've had the flattest real estate market in 5 years. And, you know, they've really used their resources. You know, they haven't got all the flashy hanging on things that the East Coast agents have. They know how to, you know, a downturn's been a downturn. But I'll tell you what, when the boom happens again, and it will over there, I'm going to be shouting very loud to the teams over there because they deserve everything they get because they've been able to survive and really go hard with what they've got in the climate. So a great eye-opener. I've been talking about the crew to the East Coast for the last 3 years since I've been involved with them.
Yeah. So let's talk about online auctions or like online bidding or different things like that, because I think this Saturday gone and this Saturday coming was supposed to be the two super Saturdays of autumn. So I imagine that there are a lot of agents on the phone a lot last week trying to either reschedule or push them out or you know, like trying to convert them into an online format. It's a question for both of you. What sort of dialogue were your agents using to get vendors to feel comfortable with either continuing on to market or to feel comfortable with pushing it out?
You know, part of the thing that I've said to, you know, my clients, Sam, is saying to them, like, you know, identify what are your top three dangers for a seller right now. One of them is certainty, which is it the right time to be selling right now in this sort of market environment we're in? Number two is safety. And number three is they want to feel comfortable with the process. I think in terms of the online auctions, do they feel safe and comfortable about doing an online auction when all they've heard before is like on-site auctions, et cetera? I think if you're able to build some sort of, you know, in terms of dialogue, in terms of a framework, I know with some of my clients, what they've actually been doing is saying, look, we've got an online auction. It's no different to having an on-site auction. All we're doing is today we're providing safety for not just you because you're our number one priority, but also the buyer. So they can feel comfortable in an environment not coming out and, you know, where we've got these rules where, you know, it's either one-on-one, et cetera. They can make a bid from the comfort of their lounge room. and you'll be able to see the bid quite well. So it's all transparent and quite open, et cetera else. So no different from you being there, but rather than actually just being on an online, and we're still going to be able to create that competition and create that urgency for buyers to make decisions, especially more so than ever, because, you know, right now you need to make decisions quickly and decisively from a buyer point of view and a seller. But in terms of the online, I think you just got to make the seller feel safe, because I always think if you start to identify what are some of the dangers that they have as a seller, and you can start to identify that, and then you can be able to come with a solution, there is no reason why they would feel comfortable in going into that process. So the process is either feeling comfortable around private treaty or going online. So in terms of the dialogue, I think very much like nothing has changed. It's just we've got a digital platform today. That's all there.
Yeah, you can still sell, you can still move, you can still do all those things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What about you, Matt? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I've got to say, we were probably caught short around that space. It's not something we had was really focused on until we needed to. And I congratulate the people that have developed all the online options, because they've been pushing them out there. So we had to really quickly understand it ourselves. And sometimes when the leaders, you know, don't embrace it, it doesn't really get embraced downline. So, you know, again, another uppercut for us. But in saying that, we quickly mobilised, got involved, understood the process on it. And we're then able to say, oh, we came up with dialogue really very simply. Just ask the vendor, what do you want to do? Do you want to put a price on it? Do you want to delay it? Do you want to withdraw it? We all obviously go down with our advice, but it was a time when I suggested to all our team, you just can't push people at the moment. We're not in the zone of pushing people. And I'm saying we never push our people, but in terms of our vendors, now's not the time to really try and sell any sort of method. Let's see what, as Claudio quite rightly said, what are you safe and comfortable doing? Mm-hmm. If you want to do this, we've got the option. I've always sold all my life around it. You know, real estate's like a smorgasbord. We can do it all. You can have hot, cold, dessert, cold, you know, whatever you want, or you can just go in and have hot, or you can take cold. Or so I think real estate, it's no different in this process. We've just got another method, which now gives us the right around what the government's imposed to get the same outcome. And we've done a few of them. We've sold. We sold one for $1.5 million the other night, which was exciting. Just watching it all unfold. I actually quite like it myself, because I can now dial in around all the options that are happening and not actually attend to them. I can be everywhere all at the same time, which is, from my point of view, is awesome.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Matt, because I know that you're the kind of guy that just likes to drop in unannounced.
Like, yeah, I do.
Big on the Saturday drop-in. So, you know, like, I was just picturing you dropping into all these online auctions.
There's nothing behind that either. It's just good to sort of support, more so is why I do that. And also too, you pick up things when you're not emotionally attached to it, you pick up things where you can help people improve by it, because you're not attached to the outcome. That's why, yeah. I do drop in. But yeah, look, we haven't got enough rolling yet, but they're starting this weekend and future. So I think it'd be a great opportunity to just get on that line and have a look how the process is going.
Was this your first weekend that you did online auctions?
First weekend. We had quite a phenomenon happening because, of course, the sense of urgency changed. I'll give you an example. We've got an agent, Brad Gillespie. I think you know Clouds well.
Yep. Alexandra, yep.
Brad had 10 auctions running for Saturday, coming up this Saturday and the previous. So he had to make an executive decision really quickly. What does he do? So he went and sat down with every single vendor and what he physically sat or couldn't, spoke to them, and then also did with the buyers and said, look, there's an opportunity now. This probably, we're going to either bring it forward online or we're going to present offers to our owners. Now, he sold five of those prior this week. They all sold before the auction. So they were due for this Saturday. Some were due for Saturday, sold on Friday because of that process. So that's what's had to happen. A lot of our other agents are the same. Some put them online. I know Jordan down at Wollongong had some online. I think he sold one out of three and then one after the auction. So he's ended up selling two out of three, just had that night. They were the virtual online auctions. And then a lot of the properties have ended up selling prior. That's what we're finding, because buyers and owners, they've already seen them. They're happy to just treat beforehand. And we've lost a few buyers in the process. People got nervous about it. They want to wait and see. But I think now it's going to be interesting with the virus subsiding slightly and us not really being able to get out there with the gathering rules and that type of thing. still doesn't mean that still can't conduct private inspections. You know, it's going to be game on still. Just got to be really careful how we do it with the tough restrictions that are enforced.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of questions come in for you too. So this is a question for Matt, first of all. So someone would like to hear some advice around a team leader or a principal managing their day on a daily basis at the moment. So this is kind of like the leadership diaries that we did with you, Matt. What does your day look like right now?
It's a good question. So the way I've found to stay relevant for my team is I'm sticking to, obviously had a lot of face-to-face meetings over the, you know, we do a lot of things obviously face-to-face previously. So I've just kept an ideal week, my same week going. I get up at the same time. I do exactly everything that I would normally do to go to work and literally get up, you know, do the normal things that I do and then just start my outbound calls pretty early. We've been doing, obviously Zoom the last couple of days, which has been good. I've got quite a diverse role myself because I'm, you know, on the board of the group as well as a management team. Then I do get involved with the sales team and the sales management team and property management. So I'm usually everywhere all the time. Yesterday we had Zoom meetings with the property management team. Today we had a Zoom meeting with the sales team. So then we had a Zoom meeting with the management team yesterday as well. So effectively, business from my point of view, I've actually found it quite productive not having to drive places, to be very honest. I'm obviously based in Sydney and we all know the traffic for those that aren't watching in Sydney is absolutely horrendous. So could that be a thing in the future where we save hours upon hours trying to park, get through, you know, across the Harbour Bridge? I've got offices on the Lower North Shore and things and then out Central Coast wise and I like to visit when I can. So this is obviously, I've got a lot of time back by not having to sit in a car all the time.
You might even be able to get a date night again, Maddie, now.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. So as a leader, Sam, you've got to stay relevant. Every time I see something that's exciting, there's a new opportunity, I get the group together for a quick Zoom meeting and then get that out there and implement it. So it's about speed to execution. I've learned a lot in the last 2 weeks. We should have, and again, another uppercut for myself. We've been talking about implementing things and let's get around to that. Let's have a meeting about it and all that. No, and I heard a great saying the other day, people are saying, think outside the box. This fellow said, I'm throwing the box away. Mm. I don't have the box anymore. So I'm not thinking outside the box. I don't have a box. Yeah. There's a new box being built right now, right?
So I can completely relate to that, actually. I think somebody not too far from here said we should do more webinars this year in January.
Yeah. Well, he might, I might dare to say he might be ahead of the game there, yeah. Sam.
Yeah, we still can't show you his face on TV.
All right, he's a dentist, is he?
Yeah. Claudio, a question for you. What's the number one thing that you're talking to your clients about right now? Like, what's the one piece of advice you're giving them when they're out and about in the community? I mean, this question's sort of geared towards, well, look, you know, we feel a bit odd asking people, like, you know, about whether they want to sell or not right now.
Yep.
So what sort of conversations can we be having out there that, you know, are not about buying or selling?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I think if you can get involved in the community on whatever level, whatever that may look like right now, I think number one is you've got to feel a connection with that thing that you want to do. So if you want the community to serve you, you need to serve the community first. That's where I've always come from. And
great saying, Clouds.
Yeah, but it's true, right? Like, I remember, this is going back a few years ago, I went to a Tom Ferry conference back in 2002. It was in August in Palm Springs, a place you never want to go around that time of year anyway. You know, I was talking to a guy in the line and we were just chatting and he was saying that they had all these garbage strikes in California at the time that they were going through. And we were talking, and people were saying, oh, look, that's really bad on your community. You know, what could we be doing? And he said, well, I've actually started to hire a private garbage service to pick up everyone's rubbish because, he said, I felt so bad driving in my neighbourhood and there was all this, like, rubbish just piling up because the garbage men from the local councils were on strike. He said, this is my community. You know, I love this community. How can I be part of this community? So he actually, what he did for a whole month in his core area, which was about 2,000-odd properties in that core area, he actually hired a private garbage collector to go and pick up the rubbish each Tuesday or whatever day it was. And he said it wasn't about, you know, to try and get a lead, or it wasn't about, you know, trying to get famous or anything like that. He just felt, you know, if I want this community to help me, I've got to help my community first.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you do things great in your community, whatever that may look like, you know, you've got to come from that place where you really want to, you know, do something for them and not think about, like, what am I going to get in return from it? Am I going to get a lead or am I going to get a referral? You know, when you do something good, eventually the word gets out anyway.
Quickest way to go viral, really. Like, I mean, I can remember that real estate agent that went and rescued that baby shark from the pond. And it wasn't because she wanted to sell anyone's house, but she went viral just because she wanted to rescue the shark. I remember the couple of real estate agents in Darwin who crowdfunded a guy's rent because he had cancer and couldn't pay it. I remember, you know, there was a story about a guy who helped a mother with screaming kids on an airplane and he went viral. Like, you know, so it's funny, like sometimes in marketing, like the number one question agents ask me is, how do I go viral?
Viral, yeah, yeah.
And there's my answer. Just do something random, good, out of the blue.
Absolutely. And you know what I would do if I was in my community, and I know with my dad at the moment and my mother, they're over 70. I don't know, if you've got people in your database and they're over 70, maybe give them a call and just going, hey, look, if there's anything I can do, you know, in terms of getting some shopping for you, or is there anything that you need? And we just did it for a friend of ours just not far from where we live. And we just gave her a call. And that was on Sunday, actually. And I said, oh, look, we're at the shops right now, picking up some stuff. Do you need anything? And she goes, that would be wonderful. Her husband's 80-something. She goes, Taffy hasn't got, you know, a great heart at the moment. If you can get us some eggs and some Roma tomatoes, that would be great. We said, anything else? No, just eggs and Roma tomatoes. And it was like the most simplest thing, just making a phone call, you know, and she was quite nervous because she doesn't know where we've been. She said, can you just leave it, you know, in the front of the door and I'll pick it up once you leave, you know, because they're quite elderly and they're afraid of their health and not contracting, you know, corona or whatever else. But maybe it's like all your clients, your past clients, right, past market appraisals, people in your database, anniversary calls, anyone who's over 70, just ring up and just going, hey, look, I know that it's pretty hard for you guys. The government doesn't want you guys out there. If you need anything, I'm going to the supermarket this afternoon before going home. Can I pick anything up for you? It's a simple phone call to make, you know?
That was a question that just has just come in, actually. We live in a retirement location with an aging demographic. How are you handling vendors that are scared of private inspections? And obviously, we don't want to put them at risk either. At the moment, we're just trying to maintain relationships to this past. So I think some of the clues were just in there. So just give them a call on the telephone or Zoom.
That's all you got to say, just checking in.
And then maybe offer to leave the groceries on the front doorstep or something like that. Wear gloves and hand sanitizer, and you know.
Sam, I've got a generic text I'm happy to share, which we're sending out. But what I just wanted to say too before is that, look, with clients, you've got to let them make the decision. Retirement home's always a difficult one. You know, just let them know you're there when they're ready. You're going to be there. So here's one subject: Are you okay? I just got it. Hi, Luke. Right. How have you been? I just wanted to check in, not from a real estate perspective, but to see how you cope with everything that's happening at the moment. Whilst I'm taking the current situation extremely serious, some clients who are more vulnerable or who are in quarantine need help. I wanted to reach out to lend a hand if you're in need of anything. Stay healthy. Regards, Matt Lewis. So there's a simple way of doing it. One text, of not from a real estate perspective. The other thing is sharing too is the focus around in terms of what we can do with the current clients on the market. Your day should be taking up trying to WhatsApp, Zoom, FaceTime them. That's, you know, your daily call. There's no reason why you couldn't schedule a daily WhatsApp, or if it's not a face-to-face, it's a phone call. You should just be talking to your vendors that are on the market and telling them, look, about the stimulus that happened yesterday. There's a lot of positivity that's come back. Everybody on this webinar now could hang up from this webinar, get onto their clients and say, hey, I just popped off a webinar. I've heard from some of the real estate crew around Australia that there are sales happening. I've been buoyed by the fact that an agent sold 5 properties last week and 2 yesterday. And I'm buoyed by the fact that there's confidence after the stimulus. Just wanted to check in, let you know I'm here. And we'll be talking, you know, when there's reasons to make calls without sounding cheesy, and just adding value.
Yeah, that's my strategy for agents is become a reporter, like become like us, like be the reporter on your local area, you know, so that people look to you for advice and information. Do you think agents will now embrace the opportunities that digital content, augmented reality and other tech-based tools can do to enhance their businesses? So I might give that one to Claudio first.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the main thing with all these new tools that we can be using in on a tech space at the moment, I think a lot of people are reinventing themselves big time. you know, with some of these tools and technology that we have and platforms that we have available. And the biggest thing, I think, where we were all is like, we were all comfortable before. We were all like, this is the norm. This is how we do it. And, you know, we just basically had our head in the sand. And now I'm actually seeing where, you know what, all these new platforms from Zoom, you know, I know you guys are doing it, Matty, you're doing virtual appraisal. You know, you're doing virtual appraisal. You don't even have to go to someone's house to do an appraisal today. You can connect with your clients with WhatsApp, whatever it may be. You know, you've got digital proposals that you can send out if you need to send out a digital proposal. So there are so many things that we should be embracing today that we can become much more effective and much more efficient, which allows us to, like what Matt said, gives us more time. You know, that could give us more time, maybe spend with our families, maybe than the old traditional ways that we were looking at it. And I think we were only looking at that point because we were coming from a place of fear. And that fear was, oh, we don't like change and we're just going to continue to do it the way. But now we've actually been pushed on a level to do virtual walkthroughs, right? All our marketing has to be at a tight level. Like your floor plans need to be virtual. You've got to be doing virtual tours. You know, you want to be set up digitally today where some agencies are still don't understand they don't have DocuSign. You know, where if we're not embracing this stuff, we will be left behind. And that's the reality. So I think this will be definitely like going from 2.0 to 3.0 is the way to go right now.
Basically, all the things that we thought were optional and would never take off are now not optional and have absolutely taken off.
They're like non-negotiables.
Yeah.
Look, my favourite saying for a long time is don't let perfect get in the way of good. Not all these systems, you know, and all the technology is quite there yet in every aspect, but I just want to remind everybody it is a people business too. I think a lot of people have got this view. They're looking for that piece of technology that can help them list and sell 4 or 5 more properties a month without actually doing what is actually, you know, hand-to-hand combat, body contact sport that we're in. I don't think that'll ever be the way personally in terms of rentals or sales. There's always needs to be that human intervention. So the technology is good. I think you've got to be careful with it. I've seen people try and absorb it all and then get caught up in trying to say, hang on a minute, let me use this app to do that. And they've got 15 different logins before they get through to the human on the other side. And yeah, they're trying to, this can do that, that can do this. Sometimes it can actually make it harder to do business. Pick the 3 things that you think you're comfortable with that can add value to your lifestyle and run with them. If it's Zoom meetings, if it's DocuSign, if there's always 2 or 3 clear winners. But I mean, honestly, since we started our business 3 years ago, I've had every person in tech space the day, every single day ringing me, telling me they've got the greatest tech and they've got this and they've got that CRM and this does that. And, you know, if I spent my days in the last 3 years just interviewing everyone, I'd be probably not here today. But the thing is, you just got to pick. There's a whole plethora of things. It's like going to the supermarket and knowing which brands you want to go and what you want to just walk in and take them straight off the shelf and leave, rather than looking at every label on each one and spending, you know what I mean? That's where the tech is. There's going to be a couple of things that sort of start to single themselves out in the next couple of months around the real estate space. And I think just look for the things that can create immediate like leverage, huge leverage quickly and make it easy. And don't go to a lot of cost. Cost is a killer in this business. If you can have all these things taking money out every month and you're only using 1 or 2 of them, it's like having Stan, Netflix, Apple TV and all of them and not watching any of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pick
yeah.
the one you want to watch and use it. We're all guilty.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is like I like to try things, but, you know, like also put a reminder in your calendar for when the renewal date is so that if it'll pop up and then if you're not using it, you know, you can do something about it rather than letting it yeah. go on for like 20 months or something like that. I've got one more question here for Matt. One-on-one meetings with your team at the moment, what are some of the prompts that you're using to get a feel for how they're traveling?
Okay, so Thomas McGlynn, my head of sales, who's exceptional, and Peter Kakos, he's in the group down in Victoria, they more do sort of the one-on-ones with the agents, and they've actually just been using the phone more so. So they've been ringing all the agents, just checking in effectively. I've also had our HR team leader as well ringing in, just checking in from a mental perspective and providing a summary of every sort of person that she's spoken to me on a daily basis, which has been an exceptional idea from her, which I commend her for doing. She just decided that was what she was going to do. See, people step up in these times, Sam. The head of HR just decided, you know what, I'm going to ring everybody and I'm going to clock in, see how they are, if they need anything. put it in a spreadsheet and send it over to the management team. Little things like that, and that helps me get a high level helicopter view of how people are feeling and what things we need to put in. In terms of the one-on-ones, ideal support, all that type of stuff, yep, FaceTime or Zoom, phone calls. Obviously, face-to-face is hard at the moment, but we're on face-to-face now and it's virtually no different to sitting with you, Clouds. The only difference is you're not shouting me a coffee. We might get a virtual coffee.
It's a takeaway coffee these days.
And vice versa.
We've still got the coffee here, actually.
I saw something really funny the other day. There was all these people that was on LinkedIn or one of them. I think it was on LinkedIn. There was about 15 people on a computer and there was a glass of beer on the keyboard and it said Friday night drinks.
Yeah, we're doing that with our pro members on Friday. We're calling it the Friday wind down.
W-I-N-E. I mean, I've got to say, imagine the police out there in all the states at the moment. There would be the safest road conditions at the moment. Imagine doing Friday night drinks and staying at home. The police would love to make
that. Well, yeah. Well,
we'd all have 12 points.
They're all the positives that come out of this, you know. No crime. There's hardly any road incidents right now that we see on the news. Pollution's down. But I've got a couple more questions, actually, to go before we wrap this up. One is, Matt, what are you forecasting for the next 6 months? Let's talk the real estate industry broadly.
I'm forecasting people are going to really look at their overheads, see things that they've had to go without in the last month. Do they really need them in the next 3 months? That's what I actually would be advising, first of all. Do they really need the encumbrances over their businesses that they need? And I'm not talking staff, I'm talking other unessential items that they don't think they may need now. Could be cars, could be offices, could be a whole lot of things, right?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a different space in the industry come out of this. Second thing is I really think those that choose to focus on what's going to be possible in the next 90 days are going to have some of the best selling periods of their entire real estate career. I'm not sugarcoating anything because I can tell I've got clients myself that are calling me now going, Matt, what should I do? Should I wait now, go for spring, go for this, go? And what do we do? I've got private clients of mine personally that I look after that have said to me, well, I just list now and if you've got anyone run through there, I've got a house for $6 million. A client rang me up the other day and I've just taken one of my colleagues down just before we were in sort of partial lockdown. They just said, here's the keys, go list it. If you've got anyone in this period, sell it. There's a lot of that property on the market coming on. The thing is, we've got to stay in the game. That's the thing. The next 3 months, I personally do see some of the best real estate conditions coming out of the next 3 months. Because there's going to be a lot of people, you know, and not necessarily that have lost their jobs or any of that type of thing. They're going to think about, hang on a minute, I nearly lost my job, or what can I do in my life to have my life set up in case something like this ever happens again. That's going to cause change. That'll cause people to move downscale, upscale. It might mean people go and buy bigger properties because they want to have families living together in case this happens again, right? I know, like you, Clouds, I got my dad who's 80. I think we would need a virus to kill us if we lived together, but I don't think that's going to happen necessarily. But he was talking about if I have to move in, of course I'd have him in a heartbeat. But the thing is, you know, I've been visiting him daily, just driving past and getting him to come out of the garage, not even going near him to see if you need anything and he doesn't need anything. But there's so many things real estate's going to change like this. But 90 days, 120 days, I think are going to be very exciting times for those that are focused.
And can I just add on that, Matt and Sam, just where it's going to be? Because our emotions have been so down in the last 2 to 3 weeks, right? The slightest bit of optimism and hope that we get at the moment is like giving us like this new refreshment of energy going, oh, you know, like even just hearing the new cases are dropping, we're going, oh, that sounds good. Like we're starting to get maybe this thing under control for a moment. Just imagine once people start going, hey, you're allowed to go back out again, right? You're allowed about to go back hang on the beach if you want to hang on the beach. The cafes are open, the restaurants. Can you just feel the positivity of people coming out? So that level of positiveness, and then there'll be when we start moving again and the economy starts to move and people are hiring back again, there's going to be this level of positivity that people are going to be coming out. And I just think, you know, what you're saying, Matt, is it's going to go up personally. That's the way I see it as well, is positivity builds positivity.
If you Google some of the posts, and this is what I've been doing, just Googling history, some of the historical things, when the war was ended, and you remember everyone's ever seen that guy skipping down the street with his hat and total well-dressed up. I think that's the feeling, and people are going to come out of this.
Well, you know what came after that? After that came the baby boom.
The post-war boom.
So what people are saying now is that with all this isolation, we're going to have a baby boom. It's not going to be called baby boomers Mark II. They're going to be called the Coronians.
The Coronians.
So the Coronials.
The Coronials from David White.
Yeah, so people will be looking to, you know, there'll be another baby boom prediction.
So, Sam, if that's the case, what does that tell you? People will be upgrading, yeah?
Yep.
They'll be moving out of their one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and looking for, if that's the case. But let's look at this more realistically. What are we doing from a mental health perspective, or your loyal followers, Sam, on here? What are we doing? I think reach out too. There's a gap that's been missed. If there's a problem and you're feeling flat and you can't get yourself out of a mental cul-de-sac at the moment, you've got to reach out to people that are smarter than you around this space. Because if you can just stay in this game for the next 90 days, and none of us have a crystal ball to understand what's happening and what will happen, but, you know, nobody's an expert on this at all whatsoever. But what we are, we're looking at history, one, and two, we're just talking like real. Let's be real about this. Nobody's going to stay locked down. That's not going to happen forever. When they come out, they're still going to want to go back and do what they all did. That might be the case. It might be in a different version of how things are done for the first 6 months. You might have to queue behind X marks at Bunnings and stand 1 meter still for the next 6 months at Woolworths or whatever the criteria is. You might just have to do that. Look, personal space should be the case anyway. Some people don't have personal space, you know. Might be a seat apart at a movie when you go back. I don't know what's going to happen. But when we do go back, people are going to want to get on with their lives. We've got to keep living, yeah?
It'll be a level of confidence. It'll be a high level of confidence.
That's it.
So last question for you both. We need to wrap this up, although I could continue talking to you two for hours. Once this thread is over, do you think that vendors will continue to embrace these new ways of selling?
I've already spoken to my team about it. I think the new way of selling should be an AND strategy. I call it AND. So we're going to do on-site auctions and we're going to have the virtual auction there as well. And we're going to have a smorgasbord of offerings come out of this. So we're going to be able to sit down with the vendor and say, look, Mr. and Mrs. Vendor, during COVID-19, here's what we did. We've learned this from that. We can adapt that process. We can have the auction process as a standard. We could have virtual auctions. We can have expressions of interest by appointment. We can have anything, whichever way you want to do should be the way forward. To have it has have a extra like bows to our arrow, I guess, would be the way I'd look at it.
I like the menu idea, yeah.
Smorgasbord.
We're just going to have much more tools in the toolbox to offer for our clients. And I think on top of what Matt said, Sam, is just basically just, you know, at the end of the day, you just want the client to feel comfortable with the process of selling. It's like having a smorgasbord, as Maddie was saying before. You got the hold and you got the cold. You want the hot buffet and you can have the hot breakfast or whatever else, or if you want the cold. Because I think, you know, at the end of the day, there will still be the seller that will think about, oh, I just want to do off market maybe. But, you know, then there'll be someone that goes, you know what, I think if we're going to move forward and we want to get the top dollar for our home, maybe we go on market and have all the tools that we have available that we can use to ensure that, you know, we don't leave any stone unturned and we can get top dollar for our home. So, but I think it's what Matt is saying on top of it. It's just making sure that the client feels comfortable and you can only say, this is what we saw before and this is what we got. We can offer you virtual and on-site, or if you just want on-site, no problem. It's just having it, you know, for what's best for the client.
Yeah, new idea for the team. Instead of giving away branded bottles of water, I think we should be looking at branding sanitizer now and company brands. That's it.
We've already looked into that, believe me.
You know how much those little puppies are? They're expensive, Maddie.
They're about 10 times more expensive than
about
bottle of water.
$27 a bottle.
All right, you guys. Well, Claudio, thank you so much for joining us. Matt, thank you so much for joining us and taking an hour out of your day. If there was one thing that you would like folks to remember from listening to this hour of power, and it has been an hour of power, I've just looked at the clock, what would it be? Claudio, you first.
For me, look, I would just say to the guys listening out there, just figure out what are the top three dangers your sellers are facing right now. And I believe it's certainty, like is it a good time to sell? Safety, how can you make them feel safe through a process of like having strangers coming through the home, and comfortable. Is it online auctions or is it private treaty? So make them feel comfortable and work out your top three dangers for your buyers right now, whatever that may look like. Is it job security, uncertain futures? Once you start to figure that out, you can really come from a place of solution. You got to remember, a lot of people right now are in a hole. You need to be the person that can throw the ladder down and get them out of that hole. That's what I would say in this market today.
That's it. If you see someone swimming naked because the tide's gone out, hand them a towel.
I like that.
Does that mean the mornings? No.
Matt, your final thought?
I think stay real. Don't sugarcoat things. Have the hard conversation. And the three mantra that we wheeled out at the agency from day one since you started was resilience, focus, and empathy. They're my three.
Awesome.
Good stuff, guys. Remember, we've got all of these resources on eliteagent.com/COVID-19. Guys, thank you once again.
And Sam, thank you for your contribution to the industry as well. And Mark, of course.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.